Chicago, it's DJ Moore here. I'm glad to be here, excited to be here.
DJ Moore, Chicago Bear wide receiver.
Shoot, they're getting a fun, exciting, energetic person that's just going to come to work every day and not look back.
Third and six. Rams bring an extra body. Williams protected. Williams to the ball. To the end zone for DJ Moore and a touchdown. Their first connection together.
One-on-one with the backer. Had a little stick knot. Caleb paced the ball very well. And I just had to keep my feet in and make the catch.
DJ Moore chatting it up with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
We going bear down.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to DJ Moore when he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. DJ, how are you?
I'm doing amazing.
That's good to hear. Good to hear.
Wait, I was worried for you, man. You took some big hits yesterday. You, at one point, you were limping. I saw you go into the tent. How are you feeling physically?
Physically sore, but mentally and everything else, I'm feeling great.
How badly did you guys need that game yesterday coming out of Indianapolis? Long week, noisy week, a lot of conversation about what the offense wasn't doing, a lot of criticism for Shane Waldron, the play caller. Yesterday, how much of a relief was that winning that game?
It was a big sigh of relief. You know, it can get ugly in the NFL because it's one game at a time. But if you get on that losing streak, it'll stay other teams to make sure that it stays on you. So once you break that, it's good to do.
I'm curious. I want to talk to you about usage, about the way that you're being used, because I saw this statistic going into the game yesterday. You ranked 72nd in the NFL among 91 wide receivers in terms of the depth of the routes that you were running. So in other words, your average route was 7.5 yards. And now, you know, you look at that and you're thinking, why are they constantly trying to get you on bubble screens and short outs? Are they ever going to get you down the field? And, you know, we know how good an offensive player you are. Is it frustrating the way that you are being used? Are you too close to the line of scrimmage all the time? We saw you take a couple of big shots. You went up and got a ball. It was a high pass, and you got cleaned out on that one, and that wasn't really beyond the marker. I just don't understand why you're not being thrown to down the field more.
Some with the game plan, and now I don't be frustrated with it because I know some of the shots be on the game plan that may not leave the call sheet, and we've used for another week. And it's all depending on the play call and what's called that week. So this week we had a few decoy plans for me, and some of them got off and some of them didn't. So it's just a revolving door of how I'm going to be used all year.
Let's talk about how you were used for the touchdown that you did score, isolated on a linebacker. Bad matchup by the Rams, but good scheming by whoever came up with that formation to isolate you on one-on-one back of the end zone. Describe the play, and when did you know that you got what you wanted?
We went into no huddle. The formation put me at three. Across the board, we had winners, like runaway winners. So we knew that the front side, if they didn't win, he was going to start working back to his backside progression. And that's where I came into play on the backer. And once you get that, you might as well call it an easy touchdown.
Well, I heard Montez Sweat say that he felt insulted when they attempted to have him blocked by a tight end, a young tight end at one point, and he pretty much ran over the guy and forced a fumble, and Kyler Gordon recovered it. Did you feel insulted when a linebacker attempted to cover you?
No, I didn't feel insulted. I just seen the matchup when I got lined up. I was like, oh, this is about to be an unfair matchup for him. not for me. It was more for him, just because the speed difference and the athleticism.
How banged up were you during the game? Because it appeared a couple times you got up very slowly. Mully mentioned about how your catches tend to be more of the horizontal passing game than the vertical stretch, and at times you feel more like you're taking the beating of a running back. But how beat up were you, and were you at any point like where you had to miss some time?
No. I think I came out for, I think, one play. That was it. I really wasn't beat up. It was more I think I had ran all the way down the field, and I just had to come out for a second.
Yeah, you looked like you were limping a little bit, and then you're just, it was funny because you were just kind of pacing behind Eberflus when they showed you on television. You were just walking back and forth, and then you're right back in the game. I know that it's easy for us to say that, it's just a football play, but man, there were a couple of big hits that you took. I also, like, twice, I think the quarterback took big hits, but they were erased by defensive holding, and the Bears end up with first downs. I was saying to David this morning that Jared Verse, that guy could have been like the defensive player of the week if his secondary wasn't holding you guys.
Yeah, they was doing a lot of holding. I mean, you can see it on their tape, but for it to come up. To come alive in a game, like every like they had back to back plays where they got holding penalties, and then like throughout the game you could just go back and just watch like they really have a problem with holding.
So at the end of the first half, there was a play where you and Caleb just did not connect. It appeared like maybe you took a step or slowed just slightly, and he overthrew you. Was that just a matter of the miscommunication? How would you describe that play? Because it would look like it could have been, boy, a really nice touchdown.
Yeah, I would take that blame. Just he thought one thing, and me thinking another thing on a conversion route, just to get back outside, and he wanted me to stay straight. It was on me. So now that we got it talked about, it won't happen again.
It's interesting. I heard him talk last week, and he said that he and Rome Odunze are staying after practice and running like 10 extra plays, just the two of them, because they want to try to build some chemistry. Are you doing any extra work with him to help with that chemistry? Do you feel that you need to know him better? He needs to know you better? Is that maybe one of the things that could lead to a more of a breakthrough?
It could, but we also take a lot of together reps in practice, even during practice when special teams are going. Me, him, and Keenan, and our coaches, we all over there running routes or catching balls that's going to be in that we know is going to be in certain spots. So, if I did that extra, I mean, I could. But I feel like we get a lot of work in during practice and even during, like, our breaks and during practice. So we actually are running extra routes with him.
DJ, we all know that it's dangerous to try to interpret body language, whether it's, you know, coming off the field at halftime or your reactions on the sidelines. So just in your words, how would you describe your relationship with Caleb Williams and the kind of chemistry you guys have?
Our relationship is great. It's fine. It's never anything bad toward Caleb or anybody at that such. Just out there being frustrated when we don't be able to move the ball or hit the plays that we're supposed to hit or like we get a three and out. Like we want to be out there. Like the first half was like kind of frustrating for everybody because we didn't put up no points. And we just couldn't connect until we came back out and we just was hitting on all cylinders. So, Stuff like that will eat at you, but, you know, it's football. We got to recruit and go back out there and play the other half of football.
We talked to you last week, and there were a lot of people that were trying to read your body language and the look on your face, and you talked about it by, you know, you said it was no big deal and there was no problem, but by midweek, you said to the collected media, you were asked about it, and you said, you know, I got to look at myself and I got to self-evaluate, and I'm going to consider all of this stuff, because you read all that stuff. I'm just wondering, so the stuff that came out of the game was like DJ sitting by himself at the end of the bench. He's waiting for everyone to go in at halftime. Then he walks by himself into halftime. Do you have to be conscious of how under scrutiny you are?
No.
Okay.
I don't care about what they put out, because it's not even like what it seems. I was waiting for everybody to go in so I could undo my pads, because I was going to take them off at halftime and get some work done, and that was it. So, and then I was talking with one of the other receivers, so that's why I really was waiting.
So, DJ, you're a captain. So last week, Shane Waldron began his Thursday news conference thanking the leadership council or committee for essentially holding him accountable. And we heard from Mercedes Lewis pretty vocally about how they needed to tell Shane Waldron, don't worry about walking on eggshells, which to me was a startling revelation about having any coach in the NFL walking on eggshells. What can you tell us about that? What led to that meeting, and how satisfied or unsatisfied you were leaving it based on what you heard from Shane Waldron?
The meeting went good. You know, he listened to our thoughts and really went out there and tried to execute them within the game plan and how we set up the game plan and everything. But he heard what we said, and the meetings got better with, like, holding everyone accountable in the room. From Big Dog, Mercedes, all the way down to the rookies. Everybody, if you messed up, you got called out. So starting there was a push to get everybody on the same wavelength, and that nobody is going to be hidden in this offense.
I'm curious, did it mean – I mean, I saw you blocking quite a bit, and there was one point where you were blocking for Keenan Allen. What did it mean for the team to have him back?
You know, he's another what you call a ball of life, you know, when he's out there. So for him to be out there making the plays that he did, it shows that we got a lot of trust in Keenan, and he's a part of his offense.
We talked to Olin Kreutz about an hour ago, and he referenced that when you do have somebody like Keenan Allen back in the offense, regardless of how many targets he may receive, or it just is another weapon. And he noticed that the Rams were a little bit lighter in the box, that they had to respect his presence. And that's the kind of thing that maybe you're alluding to. And did you notice that from a Ram defense that came in struggling? And I think that, you know, your offense took advantage of their weakness.
Yeah, you definitely, when he got back, you definitely know that you got to account for him. No matter if he gets one target, no targets, but you are aware that he's on the field and he can make a play at any time, so you definitely have to account for him.
What has it been like for Swift, for DeAndre Swift, and do you feel like yesterday's game is sort of a breakthrough for him? I mean, he had a really nice catch of a screen pass that led to a field goal, and then obviously he had a touchdown run.
Yeah, he had a breakthrough. I'm proud of him, you know. He was hearing the noise from the fans. Mm-hmm. So once he got past that, I told him, don't let him steal your joy. I got that from our receiver coach here. After that, he was just having fun with it, going out there and playing free, and you see the outcome of it.
I saw you toss the touchdown pass to Caleb after the fact, maybe for his mantle somewhere. I also wondered if you received – or if you were aware of the fact that that was the third time that you have caught a touchdown pass from a number one overall draft pick. Cam Newton, Baker Mayfield, and now Caleb Williams.
That's a unique stat. I didn't know that. I did not know that.
I don't think that, and there are many receivers that can probably say that. And that speaks to a couple things. You've played with a lot of quarterbacks.
Yes.
Hey, yeah, go ahead.
That's really a unique stat. I did not know that. I thought you was going to say something else, but I didn't know where you was going with it.
Cam, Baker Mayfield, and Caleb Williams, what do they have in common? Well, they're number one overall picks. I don't know if there are many other similarities there.
Nah. Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, I saw you come into the stadium, and your kids were with you, and it was so cute because your son kind of froze at one point. He just stopped, and your daughter ran back and grabbed him and pulled him forward, and then he ran up to you. It was like a beautiful little moment. Is that how much fun is that for you, just bringing the family to the game?
It's a lot of fun, you know. They wanted to go down the walkway, and I was like, at first I was like, I don't know. But then they was like, I was like, okay, come on. And then we just went down, and little dude just did his thing. He stopped, started posing, smiling, and everything. I told Ari to go get him, but he wasn't trying to move. So I was like, hey, he can have his little 15 minutes.
So next week, the Panthers come to town. I know you played against them last year. How special is it to play against your former team? And do you have a lot of people still in the organization that you have relationships with that you're looking forward to seeing?
I know a few players still there. I mean, I'm looking forward to playing them because they're the next team on the schedule. I mean, I think last year I got everything I wanted out of my system with playing them, so I'm really not on that this year.
I'm curious, how different does the week feel after a win, right? I mean, regardless of what's happened, it's got to be very difficult to lose a couple games, and then you come back and you're 2-2. We know you got Carolina coming in. You're headed to London. How different is the vibe after a victory?
I mean, you go in there with your head held high. You smiling. Everybody's smiling. But you still, it's better to get coached up on a win film than going in there with a loss and watching it, because it's like, dang, everything is under a microscope. When you really lose, but it's under a microscope when you win. But that's better than sitting in there while you watching losing film.
Especially when you're the offensive coordinator. And back to Shane Waldron for a moment. This had to be a very satisfying victory for him because of some of the adjustments that were made, some of the things that you guys did offensively that maybe you weren't able to do the previous week. How would you just describe the week that he endured and just how he connects and communicates with players?
I think his week went good. Like I said, I think he incorporated what we talked about as offensive leaders. And then went out there and executed it to his way of doing things. And I think he connects with us well. Goes from the top down. He goes from himself down to Thomas and Simo, and then down to the assistant coaches, our coach Moore, because we got to be connected with Caleb, so we all sit near each other, talk near each other, and it's just back and forth conversation.
DJ, thanks a ton, man. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks, DJ.
Man, thank you.
That is DJ Moore, the Bears wide receiver. Interesting stuff.
Yeah, good stuff from DJ Moore. He's in a good mood today.
Yeah.
And
He should be.
Bears offensive players should be feeling very good about themselves. They did what they needed to do. It's easier to detect or to identify an identity after yesterday's game.
Mm.
It's emerging.
Well, I mean, the reality is, say what you want about the Rams, and they are a beaten-up team, but they're coming off a huge win against the 49ers.
Yes.
They upset the
49ers. They beat a good team.
Then they came back to do so.
You respected them because of that.
And then they come into Chicago, and you're kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good win for the Bears.
Pretty good win for the Bears.
I don't think I had them beating that team at the beginning of the year.
They could not have lost it. They could not have afforded to lose that game and to be taken seriously. And I think offensively, the Bears are emerging, and I think you don't necessarily want to go in this direction, but more efficient than explosive because they have to be.
Yes.
Protect the football and worry more about that than all these great, explosive, dynamic playmakers that you have. Yes, you still have them, but you've got to be careful and protect the football first.
And that's what they did. I would like to see them expand things a little bit. I'd like to see DJ get more opportunities down the field. I told you, I just don't understand when you have a guy that is your best offensive player. I think we can agree on that. Why aren't you using him in the best way you can? And maybe the answer to that is that he's so willing to do whatever you want. You heard him now. That's 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
He's used the term decoy.
Decoy.
Wow.
Decoy more.
That's fine if you're Otani's dog, but not if you're the best Bears wide receiver.
Might be time for another leadership council meeting.
Oh, boy. Don't start. Do you have to be conscious of how under scrutiny you are?
No.
Our segment with DJ Moore, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Plumbing Emergency. Call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. UM-911.
It's Mully and Haw on the Score. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. And we should let you know that starting today, you got to make sure you stay with us because at 10 a.m., there is a debut. The debut of the Bernstein and Harris show on the Score. Dan Bernstein and Marshall Harris will continue the reaction to the Bears game. They're going to be joined by Anthony Heron at 11, Dan Wiederer at noon. Really going to be fun to get a chance to talk to Dan and Marshall on a daily basis. Big fan of Marshall.
Yeah, he's going to do a great job. It's a terrific choice. Looking forward to that. Marshall has a lot of energy, good insight, and he's been here long enough to know what we saw yesterday. And what we saw yesterday was a performance that was good enough by the Bears to beat the Rams.
Yep.
But they're going to have to get better, and they're going to have to take advantage of these next two opportunities on the schedule, because I think in the Panthers and the Jaguars, the Bears can see those games as opportunities, and if they can win both of those, not to get ahead of ourselves, but then you're feeling much differently about this season.
It's the Panthers, man.
312-644-6767. Rob is on the road. Hey, Rob.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
How are you doing this morning?
Good.
Living the dream.
What's up, Rob?
Yeah, I just wanted to give a quick call. I'm actually driving on the road from Illinois back to my home in Des Moines. I've been a Bears fan since the late 1960s. I'm a native of Northern Illinois. I live in Des Moines now, but I listen to you guys whenever I can. And I used to live in the Chicago area from 1990 to 2005. So I follow the Bears closely and was listening to your interview with DJ Moore. I thought you did an outstanding job with that interview. It was an excellent post-game interview. You asked some pointed, in-depth questions, which I think were really relevant for Bears fans to hear, and just wanted to let you know that's what I thought.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
That's very kind of you. We appreciate it.
Yeah, DJ Moore is at the center of a lot of conversations last
week.
Good guy.
And good guy.
Good guy. Doesn't complain a lot about not being targeted as much as Mully wanted to kind of point him in that direction. I think that it was...
Well, I wasn't pointing him in any direction. I just wanted to know, as I mentioned to you.
I'm kidding.
At the crack of dawn.
Some of our reactions.
Oh, the reaction. Yeah, everyone feels like
it's... No, you're right. I mean, it's something that is a valid conversation piece when you're talking about the Chicago Bear offense. He is Decoy Moore as much as DJ Moore. And that's not something that you're going to win. You're not going to beat good teams by ignoring him or by not using him down the field the way that we have seen him used in the past.
They're using him far too close to the line of scrimmage far too often. And when I say it at the line of scrimmage, sometimes behind the line of scrimmage, they've created this situation where it feels like they are. You know, I understand he gets a lot of attention. People are well aware of how good he can be, and they are using him near the line of scrimmage with the hope that he can break out, make somebody miss, get to a first down marker. That's seemingly how they've used him most of the year. I don't understand why.
It's because they've almost pigeonholed him into this run after the catch guy, yards after the catch guy. And he's more than that. And he can make an impact down the field. Now, he had an opportunity to do just that. He explained what happened on the last play of the first half before the field goal. The Bears ran a play. He was open on 3rd and 15. Mm-hmm. Caleb Williams just missed him. And there was a miscommunication that he explained. But Caleb Williams, frankly, needs to be more accurate. And he missed Rome Odunze at one point. I mean, it would have been a tough throw, but you have seen quarterbacks around the NFL, especially ones that come in with as much hype as Caleb Williams did, make those throws, complete those passes. So that may be the next step. Caleb Williams has got to be better as well. That's why I said this identity for this offense, if he's going to be inaccurate, it's going to be more efficient than explosive.
Mm.
Because they're going to try to protect the football. Once he becomes more accurate and dangerous, they can expand.
Yeah. Listen, again, I understand that maybe there are people that didn't think that the offense was explosive enough yesterday. They did enough to win.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that was protecting the ball. And part of that was getting the quarterback on board with sort of being more in control. I know everyone hates the term game manager, but what they did yesterday is they played a field position game, and you know they won the game. They got their defense got them the turnover. They got a touchdown. From the point they were up 7-6, you felt like, oh, they could win this game because they were doing a great job of shutting down that Rams offense and keeping them to field goals.
You're better off being smart than bold.
Yes.
And that's a tough lesson for a lot of young quarterbacks to learn. What we saw yesterday was Caleb Williams embracing that, at least for now. And that is progress, even though it's maybe not what we expected, you know, a quarter of the way, the first quarter of his first season. But I do think it's progress based on his previous 2 weeks. You have to learn from your mistakes, and he was making too many. So he made sure that was not going to be the case yesterday, and he minimized those, and the Bears took advantage.
It's well said, David, and I think that the other element of the game that we haven't really talked about and that we've been waiting for, quite frankly, is the idea that they managed to do a pretty decent job on blitzes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they were blitzed, as you are, when you're playing in the NFL. And the interesting thing is that after completing just 44% of his passes against the blitz over the first 3 weeks, he was actually 8 of 9 for 75 yards and his touchdown when the Rams blitzed. And if you can do that, if you can go 8 of 9, you can get 75 yards and a touchdown, guess what? That's going to slow down the blitz, man. That is what you've been waiting to see. Just handling the blitz. And it's not on just the quarterback. It's on the offensive line. It's on the running backs. It's the tight ends. It's everyone, as they have explained to us ad nauseum. But the bottom line is when you are hurting the blitz, that stops the blitz.
It does stop it, because you don't want to put the defense does not want to take those kind of high risks either.
Right.
And that's what blitzing is all about. Dumb question, but I don't know if this was pointed out, and I want to know if anybody found out anything about it. Did Caleb Williams, was he spending some time on the exercise bike on the sideline? Is that normal? Was he hurt? Was he tight? Because at one point in time, they showed him, and I just wondered what he was up to. Was he loosening something up? And I'm like, oh my goodness, is this Bajent time?
I mean, listen, Bajent was the only guy on the roster who didn't play. Every player that was active on game day played, which is different than 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing to see. So Bajent wasn't needed, but I thought he took a couple of big hits.
Yeah, he did.
And he took a couple of unnecessary hits on the defensive holding penalties. Twice he took big hits on that, and you don't want to see that at all. And I found myself yelling at the TV a couple times, throw the ball, throw it, you know, just unleash.
He holds on to it a little bit long still.
A little bit.
And he's always trying to, again, make something happen, wait for something to open up. And he'll get better at that. And I think yesterday you did see growth in that department. I thought he did take some abuse at times. You wondered about him getting up slowly. I also think on the other side, I was surprised that Matthew Stafford, frankly, wasn't given more respect from the officiating crew. He was hit a couple times above the shoulders, helmet-to-helmet contact, and that was not called. A lot of veteran quarterbacks at the stage of his career that Matthew Stafford is at will get that call.
He
didn't, much to the Bears' benefit. But I thought that if you would have had an official who was looking for something like that,
you would have found it.
You could have found it if you were looking.
I agree with that. 312-644-6767. Steve's in East Lakeview. Hey, Steve.
Top of the morning. I got a question
to you, sir.
Why isn't the Bears rotating their players? I'm looking around the league, and I'm seeing first, second-year, or third-year players playing, and I don't understand how many tight ends do the Bears have, other than Komet and I forget the other.
They've got three tight ends.
They got three, Gerald Everett and Mercedes Lewis, and they had activated another tight end during the week, but he got injured.
Steven Carlson injured himself Thursday at practice, injured reserve for him.
He's done.
I don't know what position that there would be a rotation that makes any sense. They have rotated the running backs yesterday. Roschon Johnson got some downhill action. You don't want to rotate your secondary. You don't want to rotate your receivers any more than you are. Certainly you're not going to rotate your offensive linemen. I'm not quite sure what the purpose of the question would be. Defensive line, they run in waves.
Yeah.
I would say so. Obviously, when you don't have two turnovers, that's the most important thing. When you have a defense like us, you got a punter and a kicker that we have. You not turn the ball over, it goes a long way. You're going to win a lot of games. Handling myself appropriately last week, understanding, ways that I need to get better, and obviously the steady growth throughout the season is extremely important for myself, but also for the team. Not turning the ball over, decision-making and things like that, I would have to say it was a little better.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of Caleb Williams, and he's talking about his performance against the Rams yesterday, and he did not turn the ball over, and he finished 17 of 23. That's very efficient for 157 yards.
That's
he
great.
Was sacked three times
for
24 yards. He was hit two more times on sacks that were erased. He threw a touchdown. The longest throw was the 27-yard pass to DeAndre Swift, and he had a 106.6 rating.
Good for him. That's a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned his accuracy with the Roma Dunze throw, the DJ Moore miscommunication throw. That would have been nice to add to the ledger and to his statistics. But believe it or not, and I know you won't have a hard time believing this, Caleb Williams is not my biggest concern on the Bears.
Okay.
It really is not moving forward. I think he's going to be just fine. And I think at the end of the year, let's revisit all these discussions about comparing him and being disappointed. I think it's premature, and I think the Bears got their guy.
Yep.
I am more concerned. Yesterday was a good day for the Bears. I'm a little surprised that teams have had as much success running the football against this defense as they have. And that, to me, is what you didn't expect. You expected the ups and downs of a rookie quarterback, or maybe you should have, because he's a rookie quarterback and this is what happens. It's a roller coaster. You don't have to be on that roller coaster, as Matt Eberflus said, but it's one. Stopping the run's a different story. Jonathan Taylor had 110 yards against the Bears for the Colts. Kyren Williams yesterday almost had 100 yards. The Bears are smack dab in the middle, 17th against the run for an elite defense. In terms of takeaways in the secondary, and the pass rush, perhaps, for an elite defense, that's too low. You got to get better against the run. And I think every Bears defender might agree with that. And I think if the coaching staff were to be totally honest and transparent, that's what maybe concerns them the most, because that's how you beat good teams.
Well, that's an interesting take. I'm not arguing that. The Rams had 26 carries for 119 yards. That is not good. They had a touchdown. Williams has scored a touchdown in every game this year, so you had to know that was coming. I wonder about that. That's interesting. I think
Javon Dexter's been better, but rushing the passer.
Yes.
You have Andrew Billings, who is a good run stuffer in the middle, but yeah. I don't know why they're having so much success running the football, sometimes up the middle.
Yeah.
Sometimes up the middle.
I think that by the end of that game, the Rams could no longer run because situationally the Bears were ahead in the game, and that's really what prevented the run game more than anything else.
And you had Matthew Stafford, so why would you hand off if you have a guy who has more comeback victories than any quarterback in the league right now?
Mm-hmm.
So everything did play into, you look at the run defense and the numbers, they could have been worse. And if the Rams would have been leading rather than trailing, they would have been, because you'd have figured they can milk the clock against a running defense that hasn't been as good as it needs to be.
It's interesting. I hadn't really thought about the run defense. I will have to do a deeper dive on that. And when I rewatch the game, I will do so.
It might not hurt you against the Panthers, maybe not the Jaguars, but I'll tell you what, we're sitting here awaiting the beginning of the NFC North schedule, week 11. All right. You get into the division, and I can tell you, I don't have to tell you. You know, Josh Jacobs in Green Bay. You look at David Montgomery and the Lions,
mm-hmm.
and certainly Aaron Jones and the Vikings. Forget about Justin Jefferson for a moment. Forget about the weapons in the passing game that the Lions have, and even the Packers with Jordan Love. You're not going to beat those teams unless you can stop the run. You're not going to have a chance unless you can stop the run. That's the Bears' biggest concern defensively heading into the meat of their schedule, eventually, as they will. Right now, I think it's never too early to start to address it or to figure out a way to fix it.
All right, we're going to bring in our guy, Brad Biggs. He is the football man of the Chicago Tribune. We'll talk to Big Z next. Big time. I'm Mully and Haw on Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.